From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, those open lines with a magic moment hotline. Tell you about that later. NASA's new planet-hunting Kepler telescope launched into space late Friday, lighting up the night sky above Florida as it began an ambitious mission to seek out Earth-like planets around alien stars, named after the 17th-century German scientist Johannes Kepler, who discovered the laws of planetary motion. NASA's Kepler spacecraft will use those laws to seek out Earth-like worlds around distant stars. And NASA managers cleared the Space Shuttle Discovery for launch next Wednesday on a construction mission to the International Space Station. Liftoff of the 125th shuttle mission, the first of five planned for this year, is scheduled for 9:20 p.m. Eastern Time from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The mission had been on hold to resolve safety concerns with the ship's fuel valves. The shuttle will deliver the final set of U.S.-manufactured solar wing panels to the station, a $100 billion project of 16 nations that has been under construction for more than a decade, fuel pressure valves included. Now on the line with us, head of the EnterpriseMission.com and our science advisor, Richard C. Hoagland, who monitored the launch and the news with the shuttle. Hey, Richard, how are you?
Good evening, George. Well, it's a pretty interesting evening.
Good news.
This is excellent news. Kepler is on its way into what's called a trailing orbit behind the Earth. It'll take about 371 days to go around the sun once. We take 365, as you know. So by putting it that far away from Earth, which is very similar to the Spitzer mission, they will have a clear, uninterrupted, and unencumbered view of a particular region of the galaxy. They're going to be looking at one direction in space with this meter-and-a-half size telescope for 3.5 years, looking at 100,000 stars similar to the sun or cooler or somewhat warmer. And in that time, they expect to see lots and lots of evidence through these little eclipses, these transits that will cause the star to blink for a few hours that will let them know how many Earth-like planets there are, not only out to about 3,000 light-years, but by statistical extrapolation, in the entire Milky Way galaxy.
God, this is exciting. How many do you think they're going to find? What do you think?
Well, to quote my old friend Carl, billions and billions.
That's a lot.
And get this, George, the mission is going to culminate with a report on all those Earth-like planets in December of 2012.
I am picking up a mood of excitement from you tonight, Richard.
Well, look, we're on the verge of some extraordinary things. The NASA mission put back on the table. You know, I think it's going to come off safely. They gave themselves an extra day because they have to be back down before the Russian Soyuz launches for the station. So it's a 14-day mission, four spacewalks to put on these last of the big solar wings and all that. The excitement is that we're looking at events that are building toward this date of 2012, and I'm telling you, this administration, the Obama administration, is planning some remarkably interesting things, and some of these we'll be able to talk about at this conference I hinted at a couple days ago.
Yeah, when is that?
It is in D.C., actually in Bethesda, which is a suburb of Washington, D.C. It's on the 28th and 29th of this month of March. There are people like Jay Widener who've been invited. William Henry's been invited. Mm-hmm. You know what an amazing tale and research effort that he puts into his work.
Absolutely.
We're going to be there. They're going to give me, get this, 4 hours to talk about what we have figured out about what Obama is going to do vis-a-vis NASA.
That's not enough for you.
I can probably squeeze part two of what I did at the Secrets Conference into 4 hours. It'll be on Saturday afternoon. There's a link on our website, enterprisemission.com, with a box at the top.
How about a phone number for people
and
who don't have
the
computers?
Phone for those folks who do not have computers. Come on, folks. You got to get with it.
No, come on now.
301-608-1924. That's 301-608-1924 for info, tickets, hotel reservations. And I promise you, we will have some pretty remarkable things to lay out.
All right, great. Thanks, Richard. Good to have you always aboard. The recession snatched more than 650,000 American jobs for a record third straight month in February as unemployment climbed to a quarter century peak now of 8.1%, surging toward even more wrenching double digits. The human carnage from the recession well into its second year now stands at 4.4 million lost jobs. Some 12.5 million people are searching for work, more than the population of the entire state of Pennsylvania. Bernard Madoff, the high-profile money manager accused of defrauding investors of $50 billion in a massive Ponzi scheme, is expected to plead guilty to federal charges at a hearing Thursday. Madoff, what a mess this is, has been confined to his Manhattan penthouse since his arrest in December. The motion filed by prosecutors had hinted at a plea deal in one of the biggest financial fraud cases in history. A Canadian father who left his two toddler daughters to die in a blizzard wearing only diapers and T-shirts has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. The sentencing came 4 months after Christopher Pache pleaded guilty to a single count of criminal negligence for causing the girls' deaths. He lost the 1- and 3-year-olds while walking to a neighbor's house during a storm with a wind chill hovering at 58 degrees below zero. His family said he was drunk at the time. A young French surfer has died after he was attacked by sharks while surfing on the French Pacific territory near the island of New Caledonia. The 19-year-old student's arm was ripped off, his leg bitten when he was attacked, apparently by several sharks. He was trying to get back into a boat where his friend was desperately trying to pull him in. This is an incredible story. The United States is ready to consider sales of military equipment to who? Libya, a country that only a few years ago was shunned by the U.S. for its ties to terrorism. The equipment could include transport aircraft and, they say, systems for coastal and border security in areas, they say, of mutual interest. And Air Canada, Singapore Airlines, have joined South Korean Airlines in rerouting flights to steer clear of North Korean airspace after the communist regime threatened Seoul's passenger planes amid heightened tensions on the Korean Peninsula. North Korea has warned that it cannot guarantee the safety of South Korea's passenger jets flying near its airspace if annual joint U.S.-South Korean military maneuvers go ahead as planned on Monday. We've got Dr. Jerome Corsi on the line with us here. Jerry, again, tense situations in that region of the world.
Well, there's no question, George. This whole tension building with North Korea, we now have our special envoy, Stephen Bosworth, who is repeating his call for North Korea not to fire a rocket. And it's pretty clear that North Korea may have a long-range ballistic missile that's capable of hitting the west coast of the United States. That's been long rumored, and we may see another attempt by North Korea to fire that kind of a missile. And this building tension with South Korea, with North Korea saying South Korea should not fly commercial airlines near North Korean airspace, almost threatening to shoot them down. This is another escalation of tension from North Korea that the world really doesn't need at this time.
We are going to go ahead with these maneuvers on Monday, so what's going to happen?
Well, George, I think we're both with Iran and with North Korea, we're facing a likely testing of the Obama administration. President Obama's been in office now for just a short time, really some 6 weeks going into the seventh week, and both countries seem to be ratcheting up the tension. Iran has made it very clear that they're not interested in talks with President Obama. Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, continues to be very antagonistic towards Iran, towards Israel and the United States, and he's facing his own election campaign within Iran, so he'll probably continue to be very radical and trying to take the radical position in the election campaign.
So let me ask you a trivia question. You ready?
Yes.
What would, one, get the economy rolling again, and two, get Americans' minds off the stress of this economic calamity?
Well, it's very interesting. If you're suggesting that a confrontation with Iran would both stimulate the economy and take the...
Am I right?
Well, you are right. If we had a confrontation with Iran, all the attention immediately would go to Iran and Israel. And if that's what's building, and
You know, you've got Rahm Emanuel saying, let's not let any good crisis go to waste. If what's in the works here is a kind of wagging the dog, you know, move to have a foreign tension escalate into a war to take the heat off of the domestic situation, it could happen, George. It could very well happen.
I'm going to take my newsman's hat off for a second, Jerry Corsi. I'm going to put my intuitive psychic hat on, and I'm going to make a prediction that something could happen in order to stimulate the economy and get Americans off this economic mess we're in and to start thinking about something else. That is my intuitive feeling.
Well, you have a history of being right on these, George, so I'm listening very carefully. And I can't rule it out. Certainly, Iran sounds increasingly like it was determined, despite overtures from the Obama administration, it's determined to continue enriching uranium. And Russia also has rejected overtures from the Obama administration to help reduce tensions with Iran. Russia and Iran are about to open up their new nuclear station at Bashar. So the tensions in that area are certainly ratcheting up, and George, you could be right.
Jerry Corsi's scripts in his stories can be read at WorldNet Daily, and he's also a very noted author in his website you can search for on coasttocoastam.com. One in three people with type 2 diabetes now are given medication too soon instead of being urged to eat better and do more exercise, according to a study. A study of 650 people in Southwest England found that 36% of them were put on tablets within a month after being diagnosed. Yet UK guidelines recommend patients should first try to make lifestyle changes to control the glucose. Don't forget to set your clocks ahead an hour this weekend. On Sunday at 2 a.m. Daylight Saving Time, it goes into effect. Now, this is only the third year that Daylight Saving Time has begun the second Sunday in March. For years, the first Sunday in April was the day the clocks and other timepieces were set forward. Not anymore. Daylight Saving Time continues until 2 a.m. Sunday, November 1st. So you'll feel as if you're getting more sunlight. A Liverpool motorist was stopped by police and questioned for laughing at the wheel of his car. Gary Saunders was using a hands-free phone when he burst out laughing at a joke told to him by his brother-in-law. A few moments later, he noticed a traffic officer flashing his lights at him. When Mr. Saunders got out of his car, the policeman said, "Laughing while driving a car can be an offense here." What if life on Earth began in outer space, and millions of people accept the theory that intelligent life forms visited Earth thousands of years ago and were worshipped as gods by primitive men? Giorgio Tsoukalos has often been described as a real-life Indiana Jones and a trailblazer that is changing the way the world thinks about the ancient astronaut theory. Starting this Sunday, March 8th, 8 p.m. on the History Channel. Giorgio, you've got an incredible documentary coming up called Ancient Aliens.
Yes, George, I'm so happy to be back on the program. And on Sunday night on the History Channel, there will be a two-hour documentary called Ancient Aliens. And for the first time in a very long time, the ancient astronaut theory will be presented in, get this, a positive light. And the program is starring Eric von Daniken, David H. Childress, Jason Martell, Barry Downing, Michael Cremo, and you.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm starring in it, but you did interview me for it.
No, you'll be in there as well. And by the way, you look fabulous. The whole program is, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm very proud of it. And I can't tell the audience too much. I'm not allowed to say much before the program. But what I can tell you is that my name is attached to this project, and I was the consulting producer for the show. And the production company, Prometheus Entertainment, they actually listened to my suggestions and ideas. So
excellent.
Yeah, and this two-hour special was basically produced as a modern-day celebration of 40 years, Chariots of the Gods. I mean, it's been 40 years now.
That is
Eric
amazing.
Eric von Daniken wrote the book, yeah.
And I've got to congratulate you
on putting together and working with a production company of putting together a documentary on a subject that is so dear to our hearts, but doesn't get that kind of recognition and play. So this is going to be fascinating. Ancient Aliens. Good luck with the show, Giorgio. Giorgio Tsouklos. Again, it starts, it's going to be all over the place on the History Channel over the course of the next week or so, but it starts Sunday, 8 o'clock at 8 p.m. In a moment, let's talk about trances. That's right, a trance on Coast to Coast AM. Rochelle Sparrow is an internationally known psychic trance channel with an uncanny ability to tune into the universe. Her keen insights and accurate predictions have landed her smack in the middle of the new millennium spiritual awakening. She's now working on a book, learning the lessons in this book. Rochelle points out how life continually mirrors back to us the lessons we need to learn in order to move forward through life. Tonight, we're going to talk with her about trances. We'll take calls later on. Rochelle, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Oh, well, thank you so much, George. I am so glad to be on your show. I'm such a big fan. And thank you, everybody out there that's listening tonight. I'm just so excited to be here.
Tell me a little bit about being a trance channel. What is that?
Well, what I do is I go into a trance, which is a deep meditative state. I've learned it through a number of different processes since birth. And in this trance state, I'm able to connect with entities on the other side. What really brought me into this particular ability is shamanic journeying, which is a type of trance state where you enter different dimensional realities and connect with what's called power animals. So doing that kind of meditation for about 10 years, instead of seeing the usual visions, I started to connect with a voice. So that brought me into a whole nother area of who is this voice and what is this voice trying to tell me and how is it helpful, and what kind of information does it bring me? So it's been a really an adventurous learning process since birth.
Now, Rochelle, when you're in this state, what kind of information are you looking for? Are you looking for things that could occur in the future that could affect all of us? Are you trying to talk to somebody in the afterlife? What's your main goal?
It's all of the above. But mainly what happens is that the information that comes in tends to be quite healing. We create our life from the inside out. And how we do that is through our healing, healing our connections with our true self, healing our connections with Source, with our true abilities. And when we have information about our unconscious that we need to bring up in order for us to heal, then we can shift our inner view as well as our outer view. So what the guides do is provide unconscious information to make it conscious, unconscious information to make it conscious, because as we observe this information in a conscious light, it then changes. So the information that the guides bring in tends to be quite detailed. It tends to help people heal, and it also tends to be clairvoyant or future-oriented in nature.
When you're in this trance state, do you ever see something that you wish you didn't see?
Well, it's interesting because I see all sorts of things, especially lately. As you probably know through your own particular experiences, as you develop and you progress in your psychic abilities, you go from one stage to another. So my stage right now is I'm really focusing in being on a trance state with my eyes open. So the other night, about 3 weeks ago, I'm involved in an experiment, opensource.net, where they're testing mediums across the country.
Hmm.
So in this particular experiment, we have to channel specifically about people who have passed over. So I happened to be involved in an experiment that day, and I was going to bed, and right across from my bed, there was a shadow of a man, and it was only there for a second. It flashed in, it flashed out, but it was there just long enough for me to get tiny bit startled.
See, even you get shadow people. Back in a moment. Well, next hour, it's open lines and handling the duties this weekend on Coast to Coast, Saturday and Sunday, none other than Ian Punnett.
You know, did you just get an earthquake there? Did you get a tremor or something this week in California?
I think we had some kind of, we always have things like that. But,
well, because I got this call last week in the first hour when I was doing some open line calls, so I keep thinking about it and wondering whether the guy who claimed that his tremors in his buttocks anticipate earthquakes in California. So I mean, he's quite serious.
So what happens to him during a major earthquake? Don't even go there.
Well, he gets it first, and then within about 18 hours, he says, then there'll be an earthquake. So I was just curious whether there had been anything this week.
Let's bring him out on the Jay Leno show to make earthquake predictions.
I think so. coming up tomorrow night, somebody who I think you have had on before, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the Pluto Files. He's covered the entire history of what used to be Planet X. He's got a lot to say about the future of Pluto and how we're going to be looking at the relationship of Pluto in 2012. But it's all about the rise and fall of America's favorite planet. We'll be talking with him. And then on Sunday night, this is so cool. I cannot tell you how cool this is. Joseph Farrell has written a book about alchemy and the secret research for exotic matter.
You will like him.
I you know what? I've never talked to him, and I know he's sort of a coast-to-coast legend. So I will really look forward to it. When was the last time you talked with him? On his?
Oh, geez.
Was it on his Nazi book that he had out about?
Yeah, it was some time ago.
Yeah, because I know a little bit about that, about the Nazi research into exotic matter and about Russian research, and he pulls it all together, and it's really fascinating. So that'll be Sunday night.
Super. You have a super weekend, Ian.
Thanks. You too, George. See you next week, bud.
Yep. All right. Ian's going to be in town. There's a convention here in Los Angeles. We're going to get together. We'll be back in a moment with Rochelle Spiro. We're going to continue talking with her about trances, and we'll take your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Rochelle Spiro with us. I'm George Norrie. Rochelle, years ago, the magician Harry Houdini, who went searching for mediums so he could find his dearly departed mother, would he have, even though you're a trance channeler, would he have gone to you at that time for help?
Well, I certainly hope so. I know that he was running around trying to debunk people.
He was looking for the real one, but he was debunking the frauds.
Yes,
that's right.
He was. And I believe that I could have been of a help to him, yes.
When you channel, give us a scenario of what you do.
I go into a trance state. I move in and out of trance. I'm quite conscious of the information that comes in. I don't retain the information, so it's kind of like waking up from a dream. I'll remember it for a little while, and then it slowly dissipates over time. I'm able to identify and read energy. Everything has an energy attached to it. So there's file cabinet energy, there's dog energy, there's event energy, there's situation energy. So I also read energy. So they both give me words, they give me energies to read, and sometimes they give me messages from their ancestors that come through.
Are you like an Edgar Casey?
I don't believe so. I think he, from what I know of him, he went into an elaborate procedure to bring in his particular information. I bring in my information, I could be on the street, basically. So I'm quite comfortable bringing in the information. I could basically do it all the time if I wanted to. It's not something I have to prepare for other than taking care of myself and cleaning my chakra systems and doing yoga and that kind of thing. But the information tends to come easily to me.
What are you seeing in the future? What's happening here?
As far as the United States goes,
yes,
I would have to channel, and I'd be happy to do that.
Can you do it at will?
Yes.
Like now?
Yeah.
All right.
In that, we see a number of different challenges and changes. There are going to be stronger relationships upcoming worldwide, but this is also going to result in demands for more consolidations given to, I want to say, this is political energy, given to nations in a political manner. So what we are suggesting here is that there's going to have to be a basis made politically for negotiations that now strive to make sense. and accommodations for countries' needs in a cultural basis, not just a grievance toward more companies and corporations in terms of what they may need, in terms of land, in terms of people, also in terms of law making, so that there is going to be more of a relationship formed among individuals, among different nations. Now, as far as war is concerned, yes, there are probabilities coming forth in which there is a stronger probability for an increased, breeding the energy, I want to say increased scope and stronger point of war, but not in the way that people think. It is going to be, it feels like underground is the energy, more hidden is the energy, more in terms of strategy is the energy, in terms of Afghanistan, as well as another nation.
Could it be Iran?
Yes. Yes, I was, yeah, okay. Yes, I'm going to say that that's true. So that what is going to happen is there's going to be more of a focus, a focal point in terms of strategy, mission, and accomplishment that is going to lead to, it feels like, victory. But we are also suggesting that this particular victory is not going to be overshadowed by other circumstances, meaning casualties. In other words, there is going to be a number of focused individuals who move into a certain combative situation, who obtain needed information, and then provide this particular needed information to governmental resources, which provide a victory, is correct. So the upcoming changes that we see are going to be strategic. What has occurred previously has not been of strategic nature, so that now the point will be one of strategy making, of gaining alliances, both politically, worldwide, and also strategically in terms of combat, so that there will be a coinciding success that will then push the United States, and it feels like 2010, and then I got 2012 as a visual image, into another dimensional era.
There comes that year again, huh? 2012. Let's take some calls while we continue chatting with you, Rochelle. Tony in Virginia. Hi, Tony.
Oh, hi, George. Hi, Rochelle.
Hi,
thank
Tony.
You very much for taking my phone call.
Thank you. How can I help you?
Well, I got a kind of a question that follows a little bit of what you're talking about right now, so it's a two-parter, so please bear with me. Okay, my question goes along this line. Our country right now, my question is, Obama and our elected government right now, are they really on the side of we the people, and are they going to really go to bat for us and try to fight this evil, which it partially is the international bankers, or are we going to basically lose and have to, like, fight, and I mean, like, physically fight our own government to get our freedoms back? That's the first one. And then
all right, let's get them one at a time.
Okay, let's find out. In that, what we see occurring in regards to Obama is a force of his own, now let's see what this means, integrity, in that he makes certain that he finds out thoroughly what his particular advantages are. I want to say that I'm getting a sensory perception image of him with a group. These are advisors, and this could be of advisors, not just his cabinet, but groups of people, the public as well. And then he makes determinations thoroughly through the consolidated information that he gets and receives. He does best in terms of unification with other individuals to provide him with information. What he's trying to do now is he's trying to bridge government with the people so that he honors the public opinion is correct. You will see more of his reaching out toward the public more than any other president. I got Roosevelt as an energy than any other president previously.
Now, as you channel, Rochelle, where's this coming from? Are you being told this by some entity or what?
Yes, I get guides. I have a number of guides on the other side.
All right, let's go to Tony's final question. Go ahead, Tony.
Okay, my final question is this. Is there going to be a suspension of our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution or Bill of Rights? Is that going to stay intact, or is there going to have to be a fight that breaks out where we're going to have to do something? And then this is to you, George. I know that you really don't like to mess with the idea of, the energies and getting a bunch of people to do this stuff.
No, I like that.
I'm remember how you were always talking about, your experiment with the I forgot the term. I'm sorry. I'm nervous.
The Ouija board?
No, sir.
Higher consciousness.
Yes, sir. Okay. Now, getting a bunch of people to actually concentrate on something like when you have your prayers for people on Friday.
Sure.
And I know it's dangerous to do certain things, but I think we're coming to a crossroads where, we're going to have to do something.
Might be right. Well, let's get her answer to that. And by the way, I'm all for consciousness experiments. Art is a little more reluctant now because he thinks there are consequences. But I'm all for it, even though I've blundered my way through a few of them and created some floods when we had droughts. But, Rochelle, what about the Constitution? Then we'll take some other calls.
In that, again, what we see occurring is a much more reliable stance in regards to legal law. Remember, he understands, this means Obama, the legalities regarding the Constitution and its efforts. So that the concern now has to be, of course, in regards to accountability towards the Constitution. There have been many laws that have been enforced that have broken the Constitution and its rights. So now that becomes the concern as to how to modify, it feels like, the broken rights as the energy of the Constitution. So that is going to be what is looked at next, upcoming, it feels like, 2 years. Is correct. And I also got upcoming term.
All right, let's go to West of the Rockies. Kevin, you're up with us. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, hi, George. Hello, Ms. Sparrow. I have a question. It's Christian related. Do you ever test the spirits?
Do I ever test the spirits?
Right. The biblical thing that Jesus asked us to do was to test the spirits to see what they say about who Jesus Christ is. And
well, what I do is I call in my guides, angels, and ancestors of love, light, and grace, and they come in from the right, the left, front, and back, and I leave them in the Christ light. And yes, I always conduct myself in that order to call in my guides of the highest light.
How many guides come your way?
I have quite a few. It really depends on what's needed. But I have Akbar, who is an actual historical figure, India from northern India, Thunder Sky, who's a Native American shaman, Celestial Waters, who's an Egyptian high priestess, Kuan Yin, who's a Buddhist goddess of mercy. I have quite
You've got them all. Why you, Rochelle? Why you?
Well, that's a long story, but basically what happened is I had a very traumatic childhood, and part of what occurs during trauma is a psychological happening, which is called disassociation. You leave your body. So I left my body for a number of occasions throughout a number of years, and I was actually able, through that particular process, to be able to connect to spirits on the other side. I didn't understand that's what I was doing at the time because I was a child. I didn't know that that's what I was doing, but I knew that I was connecting to something that felt hopeful, that felt like it was helping me, and I was connecting to nature. I was constantly outside, and I was connecting to animals. So through that particular process, it's just an easy way for me to reach out through my connections to the other side. So that happened to me. My mother was psychic. Some people say that these kinds of psychic abilities are inherited.
How do you know you're not being tricked, Rochelle, by these guides? How do you know that one or two of them might be, demonic?
Because they're always helpful, and they don't do anything that's harmful to me at all.
Now, are you the lucky one? Could someone else, though, get a bad one?
Well, I think it's a matter of experience. I think that people go through the process of determining different kinds of entities on the other side. It's a developmental process. I don't think I'm lucky. I think that I'm experienced, and I think that I'm able to do what I'm doing through my years of experience. So it is a matter of discretion when you open yourself up to the other side. There are all sorts of different spirits, and I'm able to tap into the spirits that are of the highest good and that are helpful.
Let's take one more quick caller. First-time caller, Asian in Maryland. Hi there.
How you doing?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
I got a couple of questions.
I'll only get one in, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. The quickest and cheapest way to mature psychically.
The quickest and less expensive way to mature psychically. What do you recommend, Rochelle?
I really recommend meditation. I know that people don't necessarily like to do meditation, but it really is the best way to tune into your particular abilities. The reason people don't like it is because when they become very quiet, it brings up a lot of their emotional stuff, but that emotional stuff is being brought up so that you can look at it, you can remove that emotional stuff through noticing it, and then get to someplace else. So that is the best way, is meditation.
Rochelle, give me your website.
www.rochellesparrow.com.
Very good. And good luck with all your work, Rochelle.
Oh, well, thank you, George. I so appreciate it. And I so appreciate being on your show and everybody out there. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
There you go. When we come back, we're going to have open lines for you, a special hotline. I'll tell you about that in just a moment as well. So let's get ready to roll. I was looking at the calendar and my, oh, my, oh, my. Next Friday the 13th again, as we had the same in Feb. So who knows what's going to happen next week. But let's get ready to go now for 3 hours of open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about some emails we just received when I come back, it's George at Coast2TO, Coast to Coast AM.com.